Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Black light. Well, hello. Hey, I knew we were together today. This is awesome. Well, welcome once again to Worship Sunday. Pastor Steve is away this week. He is ministering in Alberta in a couple of different cities. So pray for him this morning as well as all throughout this coming week. He will be in the province just east to us. But I would like to thank him and Pastor Susan for allowing us this opportunity to kind of take over a full Sunday and focus in on worship. It's actually a pretty big deal when a lead pastor hands their platform over to someone else and gives them a microphone, because you never know what they're going to say. And so we take that as a sign of trust, and we appreciate their trust and their encouragement and their excitement that we remain a worshiping church. Worship has been a huge part of Calvary from, how long have I been at Calvary? I'm going to say almost 30 years, actually, and I was 2 when I started. Oh, a couple of you believed that, maybe. That was awesome. I'm going to use that again sometime. No, I wasn't. I was in my late teens, and I knew the moment I walked in the door that Calvary was home and that I wanted to be a part of whatever was going on up there. I didn't understand it. I was a fairly new believer, and worship has been just something that's really drawn me in and been a huge part of my walk with the Lord. So I'm very excited that we have lead pastors that encourage and provide opportunities like this for us to jump into the topic of worship and hopefully learn a little something along the way, as well as experiencing more of the Lord in our lives. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Worship is a giant topic. There is no way we could cover what worship is exactly or what it means or what it's for in one day together. But there are a couple of questions that we get from new believers and from people that are new to church culture or North American church culture that I thought would be very important to just touch on today. We won't be long. I'm hoping only about 15 minutes to chat together. But I've asked Shin to come and help me out a little bit, which you'll see why in just a moment. The main question that we get, so I'm going to just jump right on in there, is why do we even sing and make music and stuff when we come to church together? So what is this whole music thing about? Why don't we just come in and sit and hear from the Word and go home? Which actually is kind of an interesting question. Why don't we just come in and sit and hear from the Word and go home? So let's look into that right now. The main answer to that question begins in Colossians 3:16. That's the scripture that says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So this scripture is telling us that the word of Christ will dwell in us, and we can teach each other and correct each other. We can teach ourselves and correct ourselves through singing together, singing with grace, and here's the most important part, to the Lord. That we're not really just singing to ourselves or for our own sake, but that it is to the Lord. Can you tell that I'm a short person on a tall stool? Can you tell? I'm feeling very fidgety, so you'll have to ignore that, please. So that is sort of the foundation of one of the studies that we do when we look at the music and the songs that we use here at church. So as believers, the Bible is our resource, yes? It's our answer. When we have questions, we go to the Word. And so we will dig into the Word and study what are the songs and references to music found in the Bible. And there's dozens. There's more than we could possibly cover today. And I'm not talking about just the book of Psalms, but from Exodus all the way through to Revelation, there's recordings of songs being sung to the Lord or about the Lord. So we want to jump in on one of the very, very first ones, actually. Let's give some examples here. One of the very first songs is actually found in Exodus 15, right after the Israelites and Moses have gotten through to the other side of the Red Sea. So this entire nation has just been saved and rescued, and their enemies have just been completely destroyed, and they stop. It says, then Moses and the Israelites sang a song to the Lord. And it started with, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength, my song, my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. And then the song continues to record all the details of what God had just done for them, and then gives thanks to him. So here is an opportunity for an entire nation to come together and say, God just did this amazing thing for us. Let's stop and record this, and record this in song. And we now have the benefit of that. Now, this song is a song of thankfulness or gratitude. And that is something that's very important to us here at Calvary, very important to us as believers before the Lord, that we're constantly reminding ourselves to be grateful and to show our gratitude. So we have songs, modern day songs that we use that show our thankfulness or express our gratitude to the Lord. And Shin's here with his pretty guitar to give us an example. Can you play something for us,
Shin? The perfect song that would match this is the song where we sing Hallelujah for the Cross.
Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, now I'm not. With your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross.
That's a perfect example. Not only does it say thank you, but it talks about that freedom that he brought us. And that's really what the Israelites were experiencing there, is freedom from slavery. So, perfect example. High five, my friend. Thank you. Let's talk about something obvious that we find in the Bible, different kinds of songs, songs of praise and songs of worship. So let's talk about that. Praise and worship. These are terms that we use pretty often. They're common, especially in the North American church. So praise and worship, what are these two things? Are they the same? Are they different? Well, actually, they're very distinct. Praise, the definition is an expression of approval or acclamation. It's to admire or elevate someone or something. So for us, the application is that focus is on God. When we praise God, when we are expressing our approval, he's the one receiving the glory. He's the one receiving the benefit. And it really doesn't have anything to do with us receiving anything from him. Psalm 103 is a simple example of this, where it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. You can hear that the psalmist is saying, okay, I got to tell myself, I need to praise the Lord. He needs to receive the glory and the benefit there. So we have lots of songs like this in our repertoire. Do you have one, Shin, that...
We do. Okay. Perfect one is Praise Him Forever.
Oh, sing praise, let everything that breathes, let all the earth proclaim, great is the Lord our God. Praise him forever. Let all that is within me and magnify his name. Great is the Lord our God. We sing praise him forever.
That's a perfect example. The other side of that is worship. So if that's praise, what is worship? Worship is a reverent love. It's allegiance. It's devotion and adoration. And in worship, what's implied is personal contact, actually, relationship. There's almost like a commitment is present. When you're worshiping something, you know something about what you are worshiping. In our case, of course, it would be the Lord. Luke 1 has an interesting scripture about this. It says, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. So this is really interesting. Look at this a little more closely. People will call me blessed because the Mighty One has done great things for me, so I will declare holy is his name. There is this exchange. There is like a back and forth of a relationship here. God's done something for me. I'm going to declare how grateful I am, and I'm going to stand in awe and worship him. So we have lots of worship songs. We've had many different kinds of worship songs over the years, but something that we do now would be...
Would be Forever.
Yep.
Forever. He is glorified forever. He is lifted high forever. He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
It's beautiful. I'm going to bring a Shin with me everywhere I go. there's a completely different type of song that I want to look at next. It's a song of deliverance. This shows us that God uses music to do something very specific. So the example, the obvious example is in 1 Samuel 16. It tells us that Saul is essentially experiencing a tormenting spirit. God has allowed a tormenting spirit to attach itself to Saul, and David would come and take his harp and play. And the scripture specifically says relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. But when David stopped playing, the spirit would return. So here is something super interesting, because the Lord has orchestrated something in music where he will anoint it, or he will anoint a musician. And when they play, or when they play this particular music, God uses it almost like a tool in his hands to do something very specific, something that he has purposed here on earth. And this is something that we see weekly, actually, at church. We see where we're just worshiping God, and we don't know what's going on in the hearts and minds and lives of people that are here. And maybe you don't know what's going on in the hearts and minds and lives of people here, but we're worshiping together. And God will use that to do something very specific in someone's heart. So maybe one day someone is at church and they were healed during worship. Maybe they had a fresh revelation of the love of God. Maybe they were delivered from a fear or from something like that. It is something very powerful that God chooses to do, and that God chooses when to do it. It's not something that we fabricate, but when the Holy Spirit is moving genuinely, this is something that can happen. God can use music and worship to do a very specific work in someone else's life. So we introduced an interesting song this year called No Longer Slaves, and it seems to really have resonated with people, and it sings about...
One of my personal favorites.
One of your favorites. Yeah. All right. Can you sing us a little bit of it?
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God.
That's good. There's a part in that song that talks about let us sing our freedom. It's just kind of, some people, it's a bit of an odd line. Let us sing our freedom. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you, if you have experienced deliverance from something and the Lord has done a work in your life, that is such a great moment to take when we sing that song together, that let us sing our freedom. Let us celebrate and rejoice that God has given us this freedom. And if you haven't experienced something like that, I'll tell you what, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have experienced freedom, because you're no longer bound by sin and you will have eternal life with him. And so that is an opportunity for us, even in that case, that type of deliverance, that we can sing and worship together now and today in a song that was written just a year or so ago that talks about that freedom that we have in him. Okay, I'm getting too excited and I'm getting off my notes. So there's two more songs very quickly we want to touch base on. These are both very powerful songs. Another song in the Bible is a song of surrender. So Psalm 139 has an example of that. And this is very personal surrender. This isn't even a moment where the psalmist is maybe surrendering a thing or a moment. He is surrendering himself over to the Lord. And it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So he is basically saying, "Here I am, Lord. You know, strip me down to the core of my being and tell me what I need to do to give myself over to you." It's very beautiful, very powerful, and very personal. And we have a few songs like that in our repertoire. We're singing one today, I think.
Well, yeah. The song is called Whole Heart.
So here I stand, Lord, I surrender. I need you. Hold my heart now and forever. My soul cries out. Once I was broken, you love my whole heart through. Sin has no hold on me, as your grace holds me now.
So pretty. The last song I want to touch on before we move on is a song of declaration. This is something that we have a lot of songs of declaration, actually, in our repertoire right now. A perfect example is in Psalm 18. Just verse 2 alone says this. It says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He's my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, my horn of salvation, and my stronghold." And I kind of get the sense the psalmist is a little bit like, okay, people, like, listen up. I got to tell you something about the Lord. He's my rock and my stronghold and my shield and he is declaring. I can't remember the context, actually, of this psalm. I can't remember if it's written to a nation or just in a personal moment, but the writer is obviously wanting to declare something, that this is something that is very important to him that maybe others know, or maybe he's creating it for himself. I need to remember the Lord is my rock and my shield, and these types of things. And that's something that we do very often at church together. It's one of the main things that we do to remind ourselves, actually, of how amazing God is we sing songs of declaration where we say, he is our rock, or we say he is our healer, or we say he is our provider, those types of things. So, Shin, can you give us an example of...
Yeah, the perfect example for this is the song called Good Grace.
Jesus, our redemption, our salvation is in his blood.
Yes, so that's just one example of many songs that we have where we take a stance and we say, Jesus, our, what is the first word? Redeemer.
Our redemption.
Our redemption. I knew I didn't have that right. And we make a declaration. And sometimes that's to remind us. Sometimes that's to remind our neighbors, right? Like Colossians 3, we're teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So what's interesting about all of these songs that we've just touched on is they're all based on that experience with God. They're all about him or to him. But if the writers had never experienced the Lord, if they didn't have a relationship with him, they wouldn't have been able to express that. So it's very, very important that we remember when we get together on a Sunday morning and we worship together, there are these things that take place. We are reminded of what he has done and who he is. We can express our thankfulness, our gratitude. We can celebrate him. We can honor him through these songs. And we can have an exchange with him where we worship him and he ministers to us. Like, people will call me blessed because of what the Lord did. You know, holy is his name. And there is that exchange or encounter. Sometimes we'll have an experience a little like we did this morning where Shin was singing, there will be victory here. And we just feel prompted to sort of sit there for a minute. And it's an opportunity for us to sort of, sila, or just rest in a moment where God can do something. So as we're declaring, you know, God, you're able to bring victory in this area of my life, he is then ministering to us about whatever that might be. So there is this beautiful exchange that takes place. Okay, are you still with me?
Yep.
All right. So this is sort of a synopsis of why do we sing and make music when we're at church together? Because God uses music in all sorts of different ways. He uses all sorts of different kinds of songs. And it's very, very, very important to us that whatever song we sing, whatever expression we use, whatever we do, it is God-honoring, Jesus-centered, and Holy Spirit-led. That is the core of what we do here when we come together and sing and make music. It's a big part of what Calvary is and who we are. So let's quickly move into the second question. This is the last question that we get that's most common from new believers and people that are new to church or new to church culture or just new to North America. So for example, we have a very, very, very beautifully diverse church. Okay, I asked this in the first service. Is it diverse or diverse? What do you prefer? Diverse. Okay, diverse, that sounds too harsh. Okay, diverse. We are, I have to know. I can't move on unless I know. So we have, a very diverse congregation, which is a wonderful, beautiful thing. People have come from all over the world to our city and to our nation and have landed here, and this is home. And we love that. It's so great. It makes us who we are. But sometimes when you're coming from another culture and you land in a North American or particularly Canadian West Coast church, you think, why do you express worship the way that you do? It's different than what we did back home, or maybe I'm new to church, I don't really understand what's going on anyways, can you just explain this to me happily? So very, very quickly, for the sake of time, let's talk about some of the things that we do to express worship here at Calvary. And we've got lots of scripture references for you because, as believers, when we have a question, we go to the Bible. That is our foundation. So let's see what the Bible says about expressing our worship to the Lord. Okay, I have some wonderful helpers behind me here. So keep your eyes open for my helpers. I don't know, maybe we can get a little light on them back there in just a minute. Okay, the most common question in a Pentecostal or charismatic church is, why do we raise our hands? Have you ever wondered that? Why do we raise our hands? Does anybody know why do we raise our hands? Because it's in the Bible? Somebody say that? To worship God? Yes. There's a lot of answers. I just can't quite hear you very clearly. It is in the Bible. Thank goodness. Otherwise, why would we be doing it? That would be crazy. Do I have my, there we are, sorry, I was looking at my peripheral vision, I couldn't see it. Okay, so why do we raise our hands? So many reasons. This is mentioned so many times in the Bible, I can't even write down all the scripture references on one card. So it can be a physical demonstration of worship, it can be a public statement of worship. So for example, in 1 Kings 8, with Solomon, before he even talks to his nation, which he's gathered, he gets up and he raises his hands before the Lord to worship him. It can be a petition. The Psalm 28 says, hear the voice of my petitions, Lord. When I cry to you, I will lift up my hands to your most holy place. It can be a blessing to God. This is very interesting. In Psalm 63, it says, I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And what's interesting about that is that's not two different sentences. That's one thought. I will bless thee, Lord. I will lift up my hands in your name. So it could be a blessing to God. It can also be in prayer. Therefore, in 1 Timothy 2, it says, therefore, men should pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without doubting. So there's lots and lots and lots of references in worship and in prayer and in bringing adoration to the Lord that we should raise our hands. So that's something that we do. There is a funny little video. I know some of you have probably seen it already. If you don't mind laughing at yourself a little bit, which I've learned to do with time, yeah, there's a funny little video out there that actually talks about the different ways that we raise our hands. So there's like the holding the TV way, and then there's like the, I can't remember this one, is the high five way or something like that. And it kind of is just a little bit tongue in cheek. But it does draw attention to the fact that in any given moment, whatever you are feeling in worship that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, it's important to do. Sometimes we raise our hands, it's just a moment of surrender. And sometimes it's a moment of declaration. And all of that is okay, and all of that is welcome here because it's a biblical expression of worship. Okay, why do we clap our hands? This is an interesting one. Why would we even talk about that? Well, because it's in the Bible, that's why. So why do we clap our hands? To participate in musical worship, it tells us, to demonstrate the joy that we feel. And sometimes it can be just a willful act of worship where you are telling yourself, I need to worship the Lord. So I'm sure nobody has ever had this experience, but I know I have had this experience where you come into church and you're just like, yeah, I don't really want to, you know. I hope she doesn't tell me to stand up and clap my hands because I don't really want to stand up and clap my hands. You know, that kind of a feeling sometimes where you're carrying the weight of the week in with you. Well, this is an opportunity. Clapping hands is something very simple. It's an opportunity to come into the house, Lord, and tell, you know, your soul, why so downcast, oh, my soul? Put your trust in God. Let's just take a moment and tell our souls we need to be worshiping the Lord. And one of the easiest expressions is clapping our hands. So that is from Psalm 54, excuse me. It says, with the free will offering, I will sacrifice to you and give thanks to your name, O Lord. Okay, bowing and kneeling, we'll move through these very quickly. Bowing and kneeling are both biblical expressions of worship. They're postures of reverence, they're postures of submission and of worship. You can see it all through the Psalms. You can see it as a posture of prayer. You can see it that it's appropriate before royalty, which is very interesting. And in Exodus 34, God himself says, you shall not bow down to any other god. So this is a posture that is very important and holy. And when we talk about bowing, it could just simply be bowing your head in worship. It could be, you know, leaning forward. It could be kneeling, kneeling down at your seat. That's all okay and welcome in worship here at Calvary because they are biblical expressions and expressions of worship and reverence. Totally on the other end of the spectrum, dancing. Dancing has had an interesting journey in the North American church, and it had been a little bit controversial, but I do want to tell you it is in the Bible, and it is in the Bible related to worship and to praise. So in songs of praise, where it says Psalm 149, for example, let them praise his name in the dance, let them sing praises to him with instruments, and it lists all the wonderful instruments. And so it's something that is very welcome here at Calvary in celebration and in rejoicing and in all of those things when we are worshiping. It's okay to move around a little bit. There is a funny story in 2 Samuel 6. I don't know if most of you will probably be familiar with it, where David danced before the Lord. It says, David danced before the Lord with all his might. But then it mentions he doesn't quite have all of his clothing on. So our only request here at Calvary is that every time you come, you have all of your clothing on, and then you won't have marital issues like David did shortly after this incident. So that's very, very important. That's our only request. We don't care what you look like when you dance. You could be super rhythmic. You could not. It doesn't matter because it's for the Lord and it's before the Lord. We're not watching you. Your neighbor shouldn't be watching you. You just express yourself to the Lord. Okay, last one, I promise. And on this note, I'm actually going to ask everybody to stand because the posture is actually standing. So interesting that this is actually mentioned in the Bible as part of our posture of worship before the Lord. It says in Deuteronomy and in Psalm 135, it says that we should stand before the Lord to minister to him and to bless his name. And so this, again, it might seem a little bit silly to even be talking about it, but why don't we come into church and just sit and worship while we're sitting? Because if you are physically able and you can stand before the Lord, it is something that he has asked of us to do. And it is it's a posture of attention and of focus. I instantly think of pictures of men and women in the military, and they don't, you know, stand sort of half standing or sitting. When they are in action, they are standing to attention with complete focus. And that is something that I feel like sometimes the Lord is asking of us. When you come into the house of the Lord, commit to standing, to attention, giving him your focus, and not worrying about what's happening all around you, but being focused in on him. So every expression of worship, from standing to dancing, every song that we sing, from surrender to celebration to declaration, everything is for the glory of God. Everything must be God-honoring and Jesus-centered and Spirit-led. And in that, we have those opportunities to be reminded of who he is and what he's done, and to have those precious exchanges between us and him, where when we're worshiping him, he's ministering to us. So that is our goal. I hope in answering those questions, you were able to walk away with a little nugget today about worship and why we do worship the way that we do here at Calvary. But most important thing to do with worship is to experience it. So let's move on in worship. Let's continue to sing and worship him together. And I want to tell you, we're not looking at you to see if you're raising your hands or kneeling or anything like that. But if the Holy Spirit moves you or if you feel prompted, please feel free to do so. If we're up here and we're leading and the Lord says, get down on your knees, we will get down on our knees. If he says, jump for joy, we will jump for joy, because we want to be obedient to the move of the Holy Spirit and we want to express our worship to him. And our prayer is that we would all feel that way, that we're family here together and that the person next to you is only worried about themselves, so don't worry about them. They won't be worrying about you. You just express your worship to the Lord as he calls you to, and know that all of these things and all of these ways are totally acceptable and biblical in his eyes. Okay, shall we continue on? All right, let's do it.